J1.
Number 1B.
Now, again, fundamentally, this divine system of reference is based on capitalized terms. And it's based on the capitalized terms as presented in science and health. Now, Mrs. Eddy actually capitalized these terms in order to show that each one of these terms stands for the whole, or stands for God itself. And actually, it is these capitalized terms, these three categories of capitalized terms, which are what is important in science and health. And in those some 600 pages in science and health, it is these three capitalized categories that stand out, and they are the basis of the divine systems or reference, or the basis of the science of being. And in her article on capitalization, Mary Baker Eddy says, and I'd like to quote her here, she says, "A correct use of capital letters in composition caps the climax of the old new tongue." So we see that actually the new tongue, therefore, is based on her use of capitalized terms. And her use of capitalized terms are just in these three categories. So, therefore, this divine system of reference is based on a higher mind than on the human mind. And this is a basic point that I feel is very important for us to see, and I think it's something that is often misunderstood. Because then we talk about the mortal mind, we talk about the human mind, then we talk about the divine mind, then we say there isn't any mortal mind, and you should get out of the human mind and get into the divine mind, and then, you know, there's even a higher mind than the divine mind, there's the infinite mind, until people become just, you know, confused. What are you talking about? What are all these minds? And we have to be able to scientifically see what is meant by all this different type of terminology. So we must see, therefore, that in being, there is only one mind. Now, do we all know that? That in being, there is only one mind. And that is saying a mouthful. There is just one mind. But because presently, man appears to be on various degrees of awareness, in other words, because there appears to be different states and stages of awareness. In our terminology of Christian Science, we have given to these various degrees of awareness the terms mortal mind, with a small m for mind. We've given the term human mind, with a small m. And we've given the term divine mind, with a capital M. So in order to somehow scientifically show that within this one mind that there are three degrees of awareness, we say, all right, we give the term mortal mind, the human mind, and the divine mind. But we must always remember that we're saying that there's just one mind. Now, in order to explain this, if I view the world, if I get up every day, let's say, and I view the world from the standpoint of going always out from imperfection, and if I reason only with a two-valued logic, and if I would therefore have a life-death time-space concept of reality, and this awareness we would call mortal mind. But if I get up, let's say, and I view the world from the standpoint of perfection, and I'm reasoning out from a one-valued logic, I would then have an unlimited view of reality and view of the world, and this awareness we call the divine mind. Having this awareness, we say, has the divine mind. But then again, it's very possible that I could wake up in the morning and be very capable of entertaining an imperfect view of the world, and at the same time, in another moment, be able to entertain a perfect view of that world. At one moment, I can entertain a two-valued logic, and the next moment, I could just switch and be all just really happy in a one-valued logic. To this transitional mind, which is capable of entertaining both going out from imperfection and going out from perfection, we give the term human mind. So you see, there's only one mind. And it's just a question of how we view the world. If we then, again, just to recapitulate, if we view the world from imperfection in a two-valued logic, it's the mortal mind. And if we view, if the world is being viewed in a transitional state between imperfection and perfection, we give that the human mind. If the world is being totally viewed out from a one-valued logic and looking out from perfection, we give this the term divine mind. Now, Mary Baker Eddy presents these three degrees of awareness, or these three different minds, on page 115 and 116 in Science and Health. And it's actually here she states that man appears to entertain three degrees of awareness, and she shows how mankind and each man is being impelled to go through a scientific translation, which is forcing man to move from a first degree mortal mind into a second degree human mind, and then into a third degree the divine mind. And she calls this translation, which is being impelled upon man, the scientific translation of mortal mind. Now, let us look at that third degree, because this answers the question. I had a letter today from somebody who was asking me, you know, they say, well, as a Christian scientist, you deny the human, and you deny mortal existence, you know. That kind of strikes a funny feeling, because we feel that there's only one being, and within that one being, how do you deny anything? You can only say that there is the one being, but within that one being there are various degrees of awareness. So we say, yes, in the first degree, that's the mortal mind's view of the world. A mortal consciousness is when man wakes up, let's say, and he views that world from imperfection, and he uses a two-valued logic. Now, Mrs. Eddy calls this degree depravity, an unreality. And this first degree, she says, is a physical state. And it's a physical state of evil beliefs, passions and appetites, fear, depraved will, self-justification, pride, envy, deceit, hatred, revenge, sin, sickness, disease, and death. So we see that when we're speaking of the problem of man as mortal, material, or sensual, we are referring to man on the first degree. So we can see that that's one way to respond to reality. One way is to respond to reality is you can have a limited view of that reality, and you can respond with mortal mind. And you see that there isn't two realities, and one can't say it enough. There's only the one being. There's only the one reality, but it's seen with a limited view. It's seen like you're looking through a dark glass, or in a fog. The forms are always there in a fog. They're there, but they're distorted. And in reality, if we view the world with a two-valued logic, we're in the same world, we're in reality, but we're seeing everything really distorted, you see. We're seeing through a dark glass. That's mortal mind. That's a two-valued logic. It sees through a dark glass, and therefore it breeds that whole world of imperfection, of wars and hate and two-value logic and lines of demarcation, because your structure of consciousness determines your phenomenon. And if your structure of consciousness is to go out from imperfection and two-valued logic, that's what you're going to experience. And that's what the world goes out from, is a two-valued logic, and it experiences the whole phenomena, which is a result of that reasoning. So there isn't two worlds. There is one being, but seen very limited from the mortal mind in a very physical state. However, there's another way of responding to reality. There's another degree of response to reality, and that's the second degree. Now, this is the human mind as opposed to the mortal mind's view of the world. And as we said, that the human mind's view of the world is capable of viewing the world from imperfection and from perfection at the same time. Now, Mrs. Eddy calls this second degree evil beliefs disappearing. Now, this second degree is a step up from the first degree. It's a moral state. It's a moral state of humanity and honesty and affection and compassion and hope and faith and meekness and temperance. Now that is a very moral, a very human state to be on, isn't it? It's a human mind, very moral, world, nice Christian, good Christian state to be on. Therefore, we saw that this human mind is in the second degree, and therefore it's capable of the first degree, and it's capable of entertaining the third degree. It's capable of entertaining all the illusions and reasoning of mortal mind, and at the same time, as I said, it's capable of entertaining the reasoning of the divine mind. And it, more or less in this degree, the second degree, one drops off a little less of mortal mind and gets a little more of the divine mind. Now, as one goes into a third degree in the scientific translation, this is the view of divine mind. This is where we talk about the divine mind. And this is where the divine mind views the world from the standpoint of perfection. And Mrs. Eddy calls this third degree understanding, and she calls it reality. Now, this third degree of spiritual is a spiritual state, as opposed to the moral state of the second degree and as opposed to the physical state of the first degree. The third degree is then a spiritual state, and it's a state of wisdom, of purity, a spiritual understanding, a spiritual power, of love, of health, and of holiness. And as Mrs. Eddy says, that in this third degree, mortal mind disappears. And man totally entertains then the divine mind. Now, let us be very clear then on these main points, because they are so basically fundamental that they will answer so many questions that come up. That there is a mortal mind response to the world from imperfection to valued logic. It can be a human mind response to the world, which is capable of going out from imperfection or perfection. And there is the divine mind awareness of the world, which goes out from perfection and from the one-valued logic. Therefore, we see that, and often I have said, that we must drop the human mind, we must drop the human system of reference, we must drop mortal mind, drop divine mind, and only go out from the divine mind. Why do we say this? We say this because it's the divine mind going out from perfection, reasoning always with a one-valued logic that touches reality. That touches reality. And we know, therefore, that a new system of reference has to be based on reality, and therefore our new system of reference is based on those 15 capitalized terms in science and health, because those 15 capitalized terms are based on an awareness of the divine mind. They go out from reality. And I hope that in a simple way explains why we say you must drop the human system of reference and go out from a divine mind, because we must get into responding to reality through a high state of awareness. Now, this divine system of reference and the seven synonymous terms. Now, as most of us know, that this, and we've been through it, a lot of us here together, many times, that this divine system of reference is actually a vast study. And this is why I felt that this class, beginning next week, this week I wanted to use as an introduction type of class to get everybody onto common ground so that we can just dig right in when we come next week. This is why I felt the need to base these classes totally on that first category of the divine system of reference, the seven synonymous terms, the terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Now, those seven synonymous terms are really beautiful, and this is something that we can go over them and over them and over them and over them, because they are the seven basic elements of being. Now, does that do anything to you? When I say that the seven synonymous terms are the seven basic elements of being, I mean, you know, how can you say anything more profound that there are seven basic elements to being? Seven basic fundamental elements to being. That's not saying that there's 100,000 basic elements to being and that you got to learn 100 million. No, if There's seven basic elements. There's seven basic constituents of being. Reality is made up of seven basic elements. That's quite profound, isn't it? It does something to you, doesn't it? To know that. Now, therefore, in order to know what reality is, we must thoroughly know what these seven basic elements of being are. And they are simple, yet they are profound. And as we said, genius is found in simplicity. Now, that's the seven synonymous terms. They form the seven basic constituents of being, the seven basic elements of being. Now, in the divine system of reference, we see there the word Christ, Christianity, and science. This is the fourfold operation of being. This is the way reality operates. Now, we can see that reality therefore operates in a self-declaring way, the word. Reality operates in a self-operating way, the Christ. We see that reality operates in a self-fulfilling way, Christianity. We see that reality operates in a self-interpreting way, science. And in divine cybernetic terminology, which is a new terminology as we all know, those terms are therefore seeing reality operating as input, word, process, Christ, output, Christianity, feedback, science. Those word Christ, Christianity, and science is Mrs. Eddy's terminology in her interpretation of the City Four Square in the Bible of a fourfold operation which exists in being. Now there's something else on that divine system of reference. There's four levels. It says science itself, it says divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. Now we see, therefore, that in reality, being is operating in a fourfold way, as a self-declaring, self-operating, self-fulfilling, and self-interpreting process. It's operating in a fourfold way, but it's also operating on different levels of consciousness. It's not only operating, it's also operating and touching every level of consciousness. So whatever consciousness or degree man may be on, it's operating there and touching him. So therefore, we see that this fourfold operation is operating on the realm of divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. And these three different levels are just going on within the realm of science itself. Now, as I mentioned, this study of the divine system reference, it's beautiful. I mean, it's so vast and it's so big and you can just take off with it. But I feel the necessity to say, this class is going to be based on the seven basic constituents of being, because actually it's imperative that we understand thoroughly those seven basic constituents, because they really are reality. The other just says how reality operates and on what levels. This just states the basic constituents. This is why I mentioned in the prospectus that I sent out that we will take, therefore, during the class, one synonymous term a night, and we'll just go over it and over it and over it and see it in different aspects and really with a fine-tooth comb till we feel like we all understand it. I feel that if we understand those seven basic elements of being, that it will really take us on the greatest adventure of our life. And this morning, early, it was about, I think it was about 7 o'clock, I just sat down in my room, and I started going over those seven synonymous terms. And I tell you, live and say, it just takes you on a big trip. You're just right in the flow and rhythm of reality. And I feel that this type of study and knowing what those elements are will take you on, I guess you could say, the greatest adventure of love you've ever been on, because you actually feel that you're in rhythm with being itself. So I think that there's really not more that we could ask for than to know just what these seven constituents are.